The following service was recorded live on Sunday, May 21st, 2017, at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
I'd like to welcome everyone to worship this morning. We come to praise and to thank God for all our many blessings.
Our reading this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to thank Cherie for being back there where I usually am. She's doing a great job. And I'd also like to thank Sue, because about a week ago, Sue and I had a little conversation. She said, what are you going to be talking about on the 21st? And I said, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. That's about all I told her. And the songs and the hymns you're seeing in the bulletin this morning are perfect. Thank you, Sue. That was really good. Before we get started, I'd like you to take your hymnals out and turn to page 881. Just mark that page because we'll be looking at it just a little bit later. There was a new seminary graduate on the way to her first appointment. She approached a professor and asked what she should preach about in her new church. Without hesitation, the professor replied, "About God," in about 20 minutes. "Today I'd like to visit with you about the Holy Spirit, and I'll try to do that in about 20 minutes. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Christopher Robin and the bear Winnie the Pooh. With that in mind, today's message perhaps should be titled, Another Kid, Another Stuffed Animal. Indeed, one of my all-time favorite newspaper cartoons is, or was, Calvin and Hobbes by Bill Watterson. This was published from 1985 to 1995. Watterson was one of those unique individuals who decided to quit at the top of his game. After a 10-year run in over 2,400 newspapers all across the country, Bill said he had done all he could do with this comic strip featuring a precocious little boy and his worldly sidekick, a stuffed tiger, who came to life only when there was no one else in the room. As Watterson was creating names for the characters in his comic strip, he decided upon Calvin, after the Protestant reformer John Calvin, and Hobbes, after the social philosopher Thomas Hobbes. He later said, "Calvin is named for a 16th century theologian who believed in predestination, and Hobbes for a 17th century philosopher with a dim view of human nature." In the 10-year run of the comic strip, we find numerous examples of the philosophy and wisdom provided by this boy and his favorite stuffed tiger. In one, which, by the way, is framed on the wall of my office at the house, Calvin stands with a huge frown on his face. The caption reads, "I believe that God put us on earth to accomplish a certain number of things. And right now, I am so far behind, I will never die." And as we introduce the theme for this morning's scripture, this one, Calvin and Hobbes come marching into the living room early one morning. His mother is seated there in her favorite chair, sipping her morning coffee. As she looks up at young Calvin, she is amused and amazed at how he is dressed. On his head is a large space helmet, a cape draped around his neck, across his shoulders, and down his back is dragging on the floor. In one hand, a flashlight, and in the other, a baseball bat. "What's up today?" asks his mom. "Nothing so far," answers Calvin. "So far?" she questions. "Well, you never know," Calvin says. "Something could happen today." And as he marches off, "And if anything does happen, by golly, I'm going to be ready for it." In the final frame, Calvin's mom says, "You know, I need a suit like that." I think that's the way many of us feel as we see the news in the world around us. As we travel on that road that is our spiritual journey, sometimes this world seems quite violent. Everywhere we turn, people are at each other's throats. Hate and mistrust seem to be the order of the day. I think that we could agree that a suit like that would help, so that we could say with Calvin, "Whatever may come my way, I'm going to be ready for it. Bring it on." Unfortunately, I've got some bad news. We don't have a suit like Calvin's to give you this morning. But there is also some good news. As we read in the words of our scripture for today, we hear Christ telling his disciples that he is leaving them with an advocate. From the 14th chapter of John, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." Now, turn to page 881. That's the Apostles' Creed. It's the traditional version. And I'd like us all to read that together. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, having just read that, I'm not sure there's a whole lot to say. But I've still got some time left on my 20-minute clock, so let's just keep going, okay? As Christians, we believe God to be best described as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning, we turn our attention to the Holy Spirit, who is God in us to comfort and convict, God in us to remind and renew, God in us to guide and guard, God in us to sustain and support, and to keep us in every way. Come with me this morning as we take a closer look at what the Holy Spirit does for us. As Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure, he makes a promise. I will not leave you as orphans, says Jesus. I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to be with you forever. Now, some versions of the Bible use a word from the ancient Greek, paraclete. Now, if you weren't paying close attention, you might be thinking of a small bird in a cage, but that's not the case. A paraclete is someone who is called in, someone who can be counted on in an emergency, someone who stands beside us. Jesus promised his disciples a helper, a powerful friend, none other than the Spirit of God. The problem with the English language is that, as with many translations from one language to another, there is no good translation for this word, paraclete. That's why different translations give different words when you get to this particular passage. Sometimes it's translated as comforter, counselor, advocate, helper, or advisor. In fact, it's all of these and more. Truthfully, we just don't know a good single English word for the concept that Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples about the power of the Holy Spirit to come among us and with us to help us, to hold us, to advise us, to give us strength to carry on. Perhaps the best translations are counselor or advocate or helper. So this morning, I think we should pause for just a few minutes and consider this concept of the Holy Spirit. I will send you another counselor. Sometimes we reach a point in our lives where we all really need someone who will allow us to talk. Talk until we know what it is we're trying to say. Many of us have someone like that in our lives, someone who does nothing more than listen as we talk out our problems for ourselves, someone who will probe the depth of our memories and help us find a way, someone who will accept us as we are and empower us to become what we are made to be. We need a counselor. Someone said that at any given time, half the world is getting advice from the other half of the world. Now, that may be true, because the truth is that we all need a little help from time to time. Many of us can look back on the advice, support, and counsel of the people in our lives as we moved from our own woundedness into the sunlight of God's grace and peace. I really like the word picture here. Think about the sun as it feels on a warm summer day. Think about how sunlight feels on your face, your arms, and how it warms you right down to your toes. You might lean back and close your eyes and let your mind wander. Sunlight is as close as we might ever come to describing God's grace and peace. Our personal friends and advocates have been there for us in our time of need, a shelter in a time of storm, offering encouragement for us to go deeper into the center of our beings and to be not afraid. Sometimes when we need a little help to get through life, many of us could use a wise counselor. Jesus goes on to say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He gives us the Holy Spirit to be with us on our journey. God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, leads us and guides us and stands with us as we seek that inner oneness that comes when he fills us with himself. There is a story about a man standing in court. The judge asked if he had an attorney. "No, Your Honor, I can't afford one." The judge replied, "Well, don't worry about that. I'll appoint a lawyer to represent you, and I'll choose a real good one." "I appreciate that, Judge," replies the man, "but if you really want to help me, what I need most is not a good lawyer, but some really good witnesses." Like the man in court, we need more than just a good lawyer. We need an advocate who is all of the above, a person called in to give a witness, an attorney called in to plead the case, an expert called in to give advice in some difficult a situation. When you face the strong arm of the law, the Holy Spirit will represent you. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit is coming, said Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a wise counselor. The Holy Spirit is a present advocate. The Holy Spirit is a helper in the midst of the turmoil that rampages through our lives. Peter Marshall was chaplain of the U.S. Senate more than half a century ago and died an untimely death. His wife, Catherine Marshall, writes in her classic book, The Helper, "In the early morning hours, Peter awakened with alarming pain in his chest and down both arms. The doctor came, the ambulance arrived, and Peter was rushed to the hospital. I had no way of handling this crisis but to drop to my knees in prayer. My knees had no sooner touched the ground than I experienced God as a comforting mother. There was a feeling of the everlasting arms around me. It was the infinite gentleness of a loving God touching my heart. In the days following Peter's death, the Spirit carried me over and above the circumstances so that I could actually be used to bring the strength to the nation's capital as they mourned his death. We are not alone, not even in our hours of sorrow, not even in the shock of grief, not even in the midst of loss. As Martin Luther put it, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." The Holy Spirit is a teacher and a helper. In verse 26, we read, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." A new college graduate tossed his cap into the air and explained, "Here I am, world, I have my BA. That's when a small voice inside the graduate said, "Sit down, my child, and I will teach you the rest of the alphabet." To live is to discover how little we know and how much we have to learn. To live is to be a student of life. Now, it's common knowledge by the time a child reaches the ripe old age of 16, he or she is certain that parents know nothing at all. Many look back when they are in their mid-20s and are absolutely astonished at how much their parents have learned in just a short few years. How many of us could use some help in the school of life? The Holy Spirit also teaches us to pray. Prayer is undeniably an important part of our lives as Christians. In a few weeks, we will celebrate Pentecost Sunday. That's when we remember the birth of the church, a church born in a prayer meeting. That little group of 120 faithful disciples didn't have a strategic plan, a church structure, an order for ordination of ministers, nor political expertise. They didn't hold a general conference. They held a prayer meeting. On that day of Pentecost, heaven came down and glory filled their souls. Every time I hear church leaders criticizing government for not having prayer in public schools, I wonder how many of us have prayer in our homes, or for that matter, serious prayer in our churches. Did you know that there are members of our church, our congregation, that gather at the flagpole during the school year every Thursday morning at Rock Springs High School, just a few blocks from here? Why? They gather there for prayer. The early church didn't complain that Rome failed to have prayer in their schools. They got together in prayer meetings. They preached the power of God to transform a life. When Paul was in prison, the church didn't pass resolutions and protest his treatment. They prayed until the chains fell off and Paul was free. The early church didn't hold conferences on the connection between religion and medicine. They healed the sick. And when in trouble, they prayed. When persecuted, they prayed even more. If the church wants to recover its Pentecostal power, it will tend to its prayers. The church was born in a prayer meeting. In Romans 8:26, Paul says, "When we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." The Holy Spirit can teach us to love. Jesus tells us, "Love each other as I have loved you," and he repeats it again and again. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. In my preparation for this message, I happened across a story of a young man named Jim Cimbala. In the early 1970s, Pastor Cimbala took over the leadership of the Brooklyn Tabernacle on Atlantic Avenue in downtown Brooklyn. The small, struggling congregation numbered less than 20 people and met in a small, rundown building surrounded by the physical and moral blight of the inner city. No money was available for adequate salaries during most weeks in those early years, so Pastor Cimbala and his wife Carol took second jobs and struggled to make ends meet both in the church and at home. Nevertheless, this was where they felt God had placed them, and they soon realized that it was a unique opportunity to see the power of the gospel of Christ in action by loving and ministering to all colors and kinds of people. Most were poor, and many wrestled with the typical inner-city problems of drug or alcohol abuse and the pain of disintegrating families. At the time, the New York area, with its challenging social problems and urban decay, was kind of a forgotten mission field. Most church buildings were nearly vacant on Sundays, since their once strong congregations and their denominations had long before fled to suburbia. But Pastor Cimbala and Carol believed this was the very spot where God's love could meet the most desperate of human needs. Right away, they realized the necessity of real prayer to secure God's grace and power in their ministry. The Tuesday night prayer meeting, though very small at the start, became a central feature in the life of the church and has remained so to this day. Today, Pastor Cimbala oversees a congregation of several thousand people. Many of the inner city problems are still there, but so is the congregation's dependency on the grace of God, who has raised up workers to direct outreach to children, women, men, youth, seniors, the homeless, and people in shelters, among others. Asked how he did it, Jim replies, "People just want to be loved. They don't care about fancy sermons and polished organizations. They just want to be accepted as they are and loved into what they can become." You see, when you get people on the same page loving one another and you get the power of the Spirit coming through prayer, only God knows what might happen. The Spirit teaches us to pray and to love. How many of us could use the Holy Spirit today? In verse 26, we read, "The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I have said to you." We should never forget that we all need a little help to be our best. We just can't do it by ourselves. The Holy Spirit reminds us not to try harder, but to try smarter. When we walk in the Spirit, He comes underneath us and bears us away. We are still walking, but we are dependent upon Him. As Christians, we need to remember whose we are today. This morning, we have focused our attention on the Holy Spirit, who is God with us, to comfort and convict, to remind and renew, to guide and guard, to sustain and support, and to keep us in every way. I leave you this morning with the first verses of today's text. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will know you. Amen. As you leave worship this morning and go out into the world of your daily lives, remember the words of Christ as he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Leave here knowing that you do not go alone. The Holy Spirit will be with you to guide, help, and comfort you. Go in peace as you go with the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.